We need the board. It got. Yeah, you guys want to. Thank you. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, man.
How you doing, dude?
Thank you. I love you.
All right, bro. I don't know why they keep taping it.
I'm proud of you.
Get it. It's probably fine. Just leave it alone. Maybe. I don't know. Okay. How y'all doing? How was morning? Or was that morning? What day is it? What time is it? How was that last session? Ladies? Watch out, guys. All right, sweet. So what we're going to do is for the next few minutes, I'm going to go through something with you guys, and then we're going to bring Rabbi Natan up. The three of us will be up here, and we'll do something fun. So what I want to do, how many of you want let me back up. I've mentioned, alluded to, we talked about it with the guys, this concept called a value system. You guys kind of get what that means? A few of you? What I do, what I think, what I speak, what I do, where I spend my time is the result of my beliefs. My beliefs, ultimately the result of my values. What's important to me in my life? Not entirely so, but it's all mixed into that, okay? So what I want to do is share with you something that I learned from a friend of mine and Dr. Dave Gentry called Priority Temple. And essentially, it's a way for us to organize our values, the thing that's important in our lives, okay? And that will help us to manage life. How many of you feel a little overwhelmed sometimes with just life in general? And we've sort of adopted this idea, concept. It really helped me in my life. So I'll just go through it real quick. All right. So essentially, bottom here is God. Okay? Make sense? We're good so far? Our creator, okay? So a lot of people right there, they think, oh, okay, that's go to church, do all this religious activity, and maybe they confuse that or believe that that activity is that. What that really is our time, our communion time with him, right? And a lot of that time, sometimes we just need to shut up. And like he tells us to be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we're so busy talking in our praying, we're just yakety, 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 yak. And let me ask you, what do you think's more important? Yeah, it's important that I can know that he's always there and listening to me. That's a big deal. Because there's some things that I need to share with him and express and communicate and let out, dump, whatever word you want to put on it, with him, that I shouldn't be throwing on to her. Hello? Especially, I think we're designed to be able to, through his strength, to be that for our wives, to have the strength for that. But I don't think that 100% of what we feel and what we're struggling with and everything. Now, she's there for me for that. But if I don't got my stuff together and I'm, you know, maybe I've got to let him deal with me, and there's some things that need to be between him and I that I've got to do my processing, my dumping, my flushing, my whatever. Let him deal with that. So that this is healthy.
Thank you.
And not coming out in anger or control.
Yes.
Make sense?
Yeah.
So these are all bounce around with each other here, so I'm not going to try to move through it. What? What? You just gave me a Okay, so then the next one here is what we call personhood. Okay, I'm just going to build this up. Then mate. Okay. Then our children. Okay, so I'm already running out of room. Then our extended family. Okay, then our let's just call it community. Community of believers, okay. The church system would call that church, but I like to call it community. And then, career. Then what we call the world, just everything else that's out there, okay. So I'll go through these. So say, well, this is for years. We learn God and then our spouse, but yet the top commandment is love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, body, soul. Love my neighbor as myself. My closest neighbor is my bride. How can I love her as myself if I don't even love myself? I'm not gonna love her very well if every time I'm being pressed against, everything that's coming out of me is all my garbage, all my crap, my anger, my fear, my stuffing of my emotions, right? So personhood is pretty important because if I'm weak, it's like, you know, in the airplane, they say put the oxygen mask on yourself first before you help somebody else. If all I'm doing is trying to tend to everything else that's around me and I'm getting weak, now all I'm doing, I can't give what I don't have. So if all I have is weakness and insecurity and tired, I'm tired, I'm out of shape, I'm bloated, I'm stressed out, I'm frustrated. So this personhood thing is really practical. So this is my relationship with my father, but personhood is like stuff like good diet, getting good sleep and rest, exercise, right? It might include things like my prayer life and accountability relationships and other things that might fall more into that spiritual, you know, side of things, but in large part, it's practical stuff, like tending to and caring for, you know, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, so I got to take care of the temple.
Yes.
Don't let it get all run down
yes.
and ragged and out of shape,
weak
tired,
yes.
right? If I'm physically tired, then mentally and vice versa. So part of this to me is like, know yourself, right? Father, teach me me. For me, I know for us, there's times where we need to, I'll speak for me. Like, there's times where I'm starting to get a little bit frazzled. I'm not living in the law of love. I'm starting to get a little bit snappy. And most of the time, it's because I'm neglecting this right here.
Yep. And there's something about a husband who is taking care of himself. There's trust for the wife that she can be protected by him. Do you understand? And so, ladies, he needs that time to go pump his iron, jog, be with the guys. Do you understand what I'm saying? And he needs that time to be able to care for himself. He was built different than we were. And we need our time as well. And for us, it's for different people, it's different things. You know what your gem is. You know what it is for you. But I just want to tell you men that there is something really powerful in knowing that our husband can protect us. And even if, okay, let's say that there's, physical disabilities and all of that stuff. I get that. I understand that. But even if you do have physical disabilities, it is still important and for her to even know and see and create space for it, whether it's like, in the case with the Merritts, he's had a leg amputated. He is now blind. So obviously there's some physical dynamics that are going on there. But at the same time, that doesn't give any of us the right to let our manhood go, to let even our femalehood go. Do you hear what I'm saying? That just because there's a physical challenge doesn't mean, and we can show you a video right now of a young man whose body has a disease that his bones collapse every day. And he's a tiny little man, but he lifts weights every day. He's a tiny little man. I mean, he's a little tiny thing. He pretty much has no legs and arms, Sean. He's a motivational speaker and he's a psychologist. And the guy actually threw a pitch, one of the pitches for, I think it was Boston.
Yeah,
I think it was the Boston Red Sox. It was one of his dreams. So, I mean, he has to lay on the floor to throw. Do you understand what I'm saying? So in his case, he could have every excuse in the book not to. So it doesn't matter what our fit. In other words, don't use your age. Don't use your back, your knees, your disease as an excuse not to care for yourself, not to strengthen yourself, not to get serious about it. And I'm going to talk to those of you who have it naturally, because there's four different body types, and there's some body types that you look like that, and you don't have to do much to look like that. That's the reality, right? When was the last time you worked out? May. May is the last time that beautiful being worked out. Okay? He's blessed, no question, right? But that's not his norm. He goes in and out of his whatevers. But I want to talk to that body type that it's easy for you to maintain something that looks that good. Don't use that as an excuse. I've used it as an excuse. He's used it as an excuse. We can't continue in that direction. Do you understand? So I broke my ankle. I'm still healing. Why am I in flip-flops for the freaking fourth event this year? Is because it still hurts. I'm still limited. And the bottom line is that we have to take this personhood. This is a recalibration. We need to take this seriously for sex, for our family, for the heritage, for all of it, for the distance, for the 2% that you're going for. It's really important. You cannot build wealth if you don't have personhood in the right place. Cannot. It's a pain in the butt. I freaking hate it. I hate working out. I hate eating right. I hate it. I wish I loved it. I can't stand it. But I have to do it. Why? I don't want my family to need to take care of me one day. I want to be strong. I want to travel the world. I want to jump on him and ride him for the rest of my life. I want as many days of touching him. I want as many days of having the stamina to go for 6 hours or to pull another all-nighter. I am so excited about what country is going to be the next all-nighter. And I can't do that if I'm tired.
That's
I can't
right.
do that. I can't.
That's right.
I can't do that if I can't lift my own bag.
That's
I can't do that if I have a migraine. I can't do that because the food that I'm eating is making my joints hurt. I can't rock this thing. I can't roll these hips if I'm not taking care of myself. Do you understand? So I love being with him, and I'm going to make sure that when I'm 90, I can be going on that thing. When I'm 90. What about you? You don't use that. You don't keep your body healthy. It ain't going to move. As you do this all day, stiff as a board. And this is how you're getting out of bed every day? It takes you an hour to thaw yourself out? Come on, man. That's what your freaking future looks like. How many of you don't want that future? Then you can't be an idiot. You can't keep eating what you're eating. You can't keep, you know, with your sedentative lifestyle. You can't keep not investing into this. Well, boom. Boom, boom. I have to be able to move all around him forever. Look at the sizes. Poor Chad.
Awesome. Good job.
Yeah. It's true. It's true. I don't want to wake up one day so stiff that I cannot do what I love to do.
That's right.
I want him to be stiff every morning, but I don't want my body to be stiff to where I cannot do what I want to do. So I did preface this. He has not lifted weights of like iron for the last 4 months. He has lifted some weights. Called his wife, but that's about it for the last 4 months. We're both, when we go home from this trip, we both had made the decision. It's time.
Yeah.
We've been partying for a month.
Time to get off the party bus. Okay. all right, so personhood. So yeah, so here's the thing, guys. When was the last time you did something physically hard? Write it down. Like, we need to do that.
Yep.
Okay?
Yeah, you've chopped down a bunch of trees. You've done physical things.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just haven't.
It's with you all day long, girl. Physical. Okay? Especially in our modern society, in modern day and age, us men, we need to do something physically difficult. Might be chopping trees, might be doing some kind of thing, might be pushing iron around, it might be boxing and getting punched in the face, might be running a couple miles, okay? Whatever it is, do something physically difficult, okay? It's healthy. It's really good for your mental health. If our wives and the relationship with our wife is the most difficult thing we deal with on a day-to-day basis, there's a problem.
Wow.
And for most men in today's modern day and age, that's the most difficult thing we're dealing with every day.
Wow.
Shouldn't be that way. So the trajectory that we're on right now, physical strength, the value of that is decreasing, and the value of social strength is increasing. Okay, so men, we have to counter that. We got to counter that. Okay, we're not in an environment anymore that supports and needs that the way that it did 100 years ago. So we have to use our mind and our free will to put ourselves in that difficulty and engage, right? And maybe it's signing up for a class, maybe it's getting together with some dudes and working out, you know, whatever it is, like, do something. right? Find your thing, whatever it is. And if you're out of shape, just start going for a walk. Start walking and then start speed walking and then start light jogging and running. And, you know, just little step in the right direction. You get that momentum going, okay? But do something that challenges us and gives us an outlet for that physical aggression so that when we have that relational difficulty, that's not the vent. Make sense? Okay, then the next thing on that I'll say is your mind. Develop your mind. Develop some mental toughness. Learn something that's hard to learn. Learn something or expose yourself to something that is contradictory to your belief system, that challenges you, that stretches you, that stimulates you, that spurs you on creatively. You have to die here first before you die here. Fall in love with learning, right? Renew our minds by the word. Okay, that would be the place to start, you know? Okay, mate, scheduling and time, you want to talk about that? I know we're 15 minutes, yeah. Huh? So, you know, date nights, you know, but you can have middle of the week, just, hey, 10 minutes, sit down, let's talk, let's catch up. I know for us, when we're apart for a long time, there's that physical, like, I've got to get back together, but, you know, we spend hours just talking, chit-chatting. And then there's other times where life at home is just crazy and kind of boom, 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 boom. And I can feel that. We can feel it. I didn't used to, but now I feel, and she does, and it's like, okay, there's been many days, and we just need to have some time where we're just sitting and just, like, even if it's just 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 minutes where we're just no agenda, you know, valuing
snuggling.
Each other.
Huh? Snuggling. Our fuggling.
That's right.
One or the other. One usually turns into the other.
Danny, you guys have been exposed to this. You know, like, you know, the example that she uses regularly of a busy mom that's doing the right thing, but she's putting so much time into all of the chores of the house and the chores of the kids and all of the this and the that. And then with the husband, it's like, well, no, I've got, you know, in other words, the kids end up becoming prioritized. You know, the husband, the man gets displaced. And then that happens on the other side with the man with his work, you know, type of thing. So this just gives us kind of an order here.
I need to speak to that for
a minute.
Yeah,
go ahead. Okay. Well, I mean, some of this is like they've heard this, so.
I'm going to say you need to stop it. You need to stop it. Because there's some of you who heard Time Secrets. You heard that the marriage is supposed to be the higher priority over the kids, and you still are rebellious against it. And the problems that are in your life are because of that one thing. It is that one thing that you still have prioritized your kids over your marriage and now guess what? The gentle messenger was at Dynasty. The gentle messenger is right now. You don't want to meet the harsh one. Do you want to know how you meet the harsh one? Heart attack at 24, nervous breakdown, suicide at 25. You want to hear with the harsh messenger? His entire life blowing up 5 years ago. That was the harsh messenger. Mine was 22 years ago, almost 23. What the? January 2019 will be 23 years that I've been living according to that list of priorities and that calendar. And refused to let my kids be the higher priority over him. Refused. And our kids have a solid identity of who they are and what their position is in this family. When I've gone to other countries and I see that that is not kept, I see women that are run ragged. They are slaves. They are beasts of burdens. The kids rule everything. The kids are crazy. They're running amok. She can't even have time that is spiritual. She doesn't have time to herself. Why? Simply because she's trained her kids that they have all control over mom and dad. They have control over the bed. So this BS that some of you wrote me about, it's like our 2-year-old sleeps with us. What the frick is wrong with you? You have already heard the message. So if you don't get off this path, you're heading for a divorce. It's real simple. You're heading for loneliness. You may not get to the courthouse, but in your heart, it's already there. In your heart, the division is already there. So you're not here at Hot Marriage Secrets because you want to stay the same. So some of you have heard this message of Time Secrets so many times and you still refuse to obey. You still refuse. You're still testing it. You're still screwing with it. And all you're doing is screwing yourself. So it's time to stop it. It's time to make sure those kids know exactly where they come in line. It's time for them to no longer be entering your marriage bed. It is time for them to honor their father and their mother because you are setting up your kids to be arrogant, egotistical brats who think the world revolves around them. And we don't need any more of that crap in this world.
Yep.
So if you are a fragmented mom who's stressed out, that's on your own head. That's your own freaking fault because you've been told. Not once, not twice, multiple times you've been told. So you want to continue to have your head up your ass? It's on your own head. And you're going to deal with the harsh messenger. And I'm telling you that right now. The harsh messenger is right around the corner. And there will be a woman in this place that will come to me after she has had to suffer through the choices that she made by not listening to this message. And she's going to come to me and say, you were right. I met the harsh messenger. Great. How you living now? So it's up to you. And same with you men. Some of you men, your work life is still your highest priority. That man heard the gentle messenger for 20 freaking years and didn't listen. 20 years, didn't listen. I lived Time Secrets, he refused. He paid the price, his own price. I paid my price. Unfortunately, he had to pay that price along with me. He watched his wife almost kill herself. He saved my life. So work ruled him. It was the highest priority. I hated that freaking computer. I called her the other lover. She was the bitch. I wanted her out of my house. I wanted the business to be closed. I wanted us to go broke because it was not working. So if you guys are still like not listening and still have your work over your wife and over your kids, pull your head out of your ass. It is time to live the life that you say you want. It is time to make the changes that need, you got to grab your balls and man the frick up. I promise you, there is a dream life that we have been expressing to you. I can't even believe that we get to live this life. You're sitting there watching like it's some movie. Step up, grab your balls and do it. It takes faith to adjust your timeline. It takes faith to say, all right, I'm not going to be ruled by work. I'm not going to be ruled by money and I'm not going to be ruled by my kids. I'm not going to be ruled by the chores. I'm going to set these things in order. I'm going to live like this, and let's see what happens. Grab your balls. It takes faith, I promise. When I went from 100 hours a week down to 20, it took me grabbing my balls and his and anybody else's that were around. I was the CEO of two companies, man. I had thousands of people depending on me. I had a $50,000 a month overhead. I had nothing but men working for me that were providers of their own households. You think you're under pressure? You don't know shit about pressure. Grab your balls and do it. And trust me, you are going to see everything in your life change. And you're actually going to see God become your provider versus your egotistical head thinking that you're the provider. Work is for a provision, not for your ego. So it's time. Don't leave this event being the same man and woman. We have everything else that's the higher priority except for the two of you. You made a huge investment into the two of you. You better walk out of here and cling to that investment and live it out. Test me with it for 1 year and then come talk to me. Come talk to me in a year. And I promise you, you'll be like, I am never going back. I'm never going back. So you want a nervous breakdown? He had two. I had one. No, I had two. You want that? Go for it. Have fun. We will love you while you're walking through it. We'll help you pull your head out of your ass. We ain't gonna feel sorry for you. We won't say we told you so. But we'll help you pull your head out of your ass. We'll love you through all of it. Because we understand the pain of it. But it's time to get dead serious. Who's with me? No more screwing around. No more screwing around. It's that kind of a thing that screws up the world. It's that kind of a thing that screws up families. screws up your sex life. Some of you came in here, it's like, man, I don't even care about having sex anymore. Like, do you know why? Ho-ting! All boils down to priorities, right? While she does not create the environment, he's so tired, the kids are, shut up! Go put your sex on. Now. Go, sorry. Jeez.
All right, that's awesome. Spot on.
Put that in your spouse's face leaving here. You hear me? You remember what Danny said? Shut up! No, don't you dare. Don't you dare. Don't you even try to hold that over your spouse's head. That's not your job. Both of you heard the message. You're going to support each other in it. Whether you fall off or not, whether you do it or not, when you're doing it right, encourage each other. When you're not, pray. You're not each other's boss.
I didn't know you could do that too. All right. Okay, extended family. Some people have a real conflict there because, you know, there's a maybe a father-in-law or mother-in-law, right? And so, you know, a husband and a wife become one flesh. And that sets a priority. So, we need to honor that extended family and honor our elders and be a society that is not, we live in, again, in our modern age, our families are just fragmented, super fragmented. So a lot of the problems we're having in our societies today is, number one, value system. What's the underlying value system of the society? One of the biggest challenges about the American constitutional system is the amount of freedom that was put into it. And the founding father said that you cannot actually make this republic. It's not a democracy. That's a complete lie. Every time you hear politicians and media people say, well, democracy, democracy. It's not a democracy. We were never founded as a democracy. It's a republic, constitutional republic. And there is a difference. But they said that it's impossible to actually keep this form of government without an educated population, without a population that is living under the Judeo-Christian value system. They weren't talking about religion. What are they talking about? They're talking about the law of transgression, of protecting personal property rights. Okay, privacy rights. When you look at the Bill of Rights and the First Amendment, Second Amendment, Third, Fourth, Fifth, all the way through, that's all about that, right? So value systems and then the family structure is critical to society. We live in a day and age where our family structure is just fragmented, like super fragmented. Why? Because we don't need it anymore. We think. We're so prosperous, wow. And technology allows us to work from anywhere, travel anywhere, and I can hang out with my friends and my buds and get those needs filled. We have too much prosperity. So I can turn my back on my blood family. Because why? Well, they're jerks, they're assholes, they don't support me.
Wow.
Okay? That's not right. It really isn't. Because, you know, now I'm not saying to that we have to stand in a continual abusive relationship and stand under that. Okay? But 100 years ago, thousands of years ago, our very survival depended on that family unit.
Yes.
Now it doesn't.
Yes.
So we think. So it's important for us to know where that is in the priority line. And you know, up here you got community and career and world and all these other things. We've become a society that is just kind of like kicked this extended family to the side and replaced that with these other things. I am far from good at it. You know, I have a relationship that is very difficult for me. And a lot of prayer to learn where's the right, what's the amount, right amount of contact, the right type, you know, how do I manage this relationship in a way that honors the Creator, honors His creation, does the right thing? Yes. What is the right thing, Father? Yes. It's not, well, she does this, she says this, she speaks against you, she lies. Yeah, that's true. But what's the right thing? I can't react, respond to, you know, be a ping pong, and all I'm doing, I'm figuring out what I do based on her performance. I'm talking about my mom, who I love. She's amazing, you know, I mean, but it's a difficult relationship, you know? And so I can't, I have to continually pray, Father, what's the right thing? And not it be based on what the text she sent me yesterday. Because if I'm doing that, I'm all over the place. Yeah. Takes a manipulator to be manipulated. If we live by the law of love and not by the law of fear, and we honor the Creator and honor His creation, and we ask Him what's the right thing, we do the right thing no matter what, we can't be manipulated. Because we're not doing something in order to get something. So, having said that, I'm also not going to, the other flip side of that is, you know, having a relationship, an extended family relationship that's, you know, maybe crossing lines or, you know, there's a lot to talk about with this, but just know that we can't just use, oh, that person is abusive or they're not supportive or, you know, we could, it's very easy for us to come up with a list of a lot of reasons why we should just kick our family to the curb, you know? And I don't think that, I think there's a middle ground. There's some kind of wisdom spot in there. And I don't think that we should be part of this culture that is just turning our back completely. You know? We also shouldn't be putting ourselves in a codependent, abusive relationship. Some of you guys have incredible families. I know that there's big wounds and things there with family. And extended family can also inject into the marriage relationship and create a lot of conflict. And it can happen in both the ways, you know, a lot of different ways. It's created conflicts, just the conversations and times where I'll, you know, share, hey, you know, this is going on. And not just my side, her side too, over the years.
Yeah, both of our moms, you know, want to encourage our kids to smoke pot. Yeah, my mom ships it to, actually, my ex-son-in-law. It's awesome. Yeah, like, you know.
You know, but Danny calls her mom on her birthday and wishes her happy birthday. And
sometimes she cusses me out and sometimes she's nice.
You know, I don't confront my mom every single time it's warranted. Very, very rarely will I let her know that it's really inappropriate and you need to stop. Don't do it anymore, you know, but very rarely, and only after I've, you know, pray, because my natural response is, right, my natural response is just that defense mechanism that just wants to say, you know what?
That's natural.
That's natural.
That's natural. His mother is provoking that. He's choosing the law of love to not. That's why these values are so important that you shared yesterday. It's so powerful. On the other side, how many of you have adult children? Be careful. I have witnessed some of the most ridiculous in-laws where there is an entitlement. It's crazy. Be careful. Your kid that's getting married, that's their wedding. You are not entitled to add people to that list. You're not entitled to do the decorating. You're not entitled to have a say in their ceremony. That's their wedding. You already had yours. I have a situation right now with an extended family that I'm like blown away. And my advice to somebody is elope. That's my advice. That's my advice. How sad. You have to make a decision. Your crazy mother who thinks and is manipulating like crazy that I've always dreamt of being with you and helping you pick out everything for your wedding. The mom has caused so much pain in the child's life. The wedding's going to be a disaster. Absolute disaster. So I said, you need to pray about eloping. And pray about coming back to a party. And you can, a year later, 5 years later, then you can have the big wedding if you want to have the big wedding, which I think is a bunch of nonsense. She's like, well, I'm paying for it myself. I do anything. The only reason why you're paying for it is so that your mom has no control over it. But if you actually think that she's not going to have control just because she's not paying for it, you're high as a kite. She's a control freak. She's going to have control no matter what. So those of you who have kids that are getting older, watch yourselves. You are not entitled to your children's decisions when they're adults. That's their decisions. Your job is to bless them. So what we're talking about, there's emotional abuse and why parents don't know how to let go. And they don't have the boundaries. They don't have the boundaries. And so this mother doesn't even realize how much she's hurting her daughters. No clue. And won't hear it. So be careful. Your kids, when they grow up and they become now the extended part of your family, that's their life. Bless it. Bless it. Bless it. Bless it. He and I have suffered so much wounds and abuse from our parents. And we are, meaning as adults, not only did he give us the crappiest freaking childhood we could have ever been given, like a big pile of crap.
Like it just won't stop.
They just won't stop.
Can you just stop?
Can you just like stop? Seriously. It's like you crapped on us when we were kids and you're still crapping on, I'm 50. And you still want to crap, you still want me to smoke weed with you. I'm so sorry. I'm not going to do it. And please do not try to send my kids weed. I would just appreciate that. It would be great if you don't try to tell my kids not to follow us, too. That'd be awesome. It'd be great if you wouldn't tell our kids what terrible people we are. Like, that would be awesome. The frick is wrong with their heads? I don't know. All I know is, don't be that parent. You might be and not know it. You might be fishing them your oversized religion. You might be fishing them your insecurities. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Law of love. Do not transgress on them. As our parents still, mothers, just mothers, like mothers. It doesn't make any sense, and it's the mothers, not our fathers. My dad's amazing.
It makes all kinds of sense.
Doesn't make any sense to me at all. It doesn't make any sense.
All right, so the point is to pray and ask.
Yes.
Right? Where's the right honor? I don't think a complete, because we can come up, it's easy to come up with a list. Yep. It could be anything where we just totally turn our backs and nothing, you know. I don't think that's right, but then it's also not right to, like, so there's places for boundaries and how much communication should happen and what kind of frequency and you know. But we can't do that if we don't know who we are, right? If we don't know who we are and we're not, and if we're living under the law of fear, then we're afraid. We're afraid to have those tough conversations. And we're either going to avoid it because we're afraid, or we're going to attack that person. We're going to accuse them, right? Because we're not owning our stuff in it. So I don't know if we need to say anything else about that, but community, career, world, you know, what do you want to talk? What do you want to say about that? Community is big. That's, you know, down here is sort of this idea of accountability relationships. I think this is typically would be in a church environment that would be church. I think community is much more appropriate.
This,
you know, here,
this is community.
It's important to rub elbows, to, you know, iron sharpens iron, you know, get around other people, to be encouraged, to be challenged. You know, but I think a lot of times the family environment and the marriage environment has been, this has become, in a more often traditional church type setting, this becomes too dominant.
Yep.
And this gets associated with that, and it's not.
Yep.
It's nothing to do with each other at
yep.
all.
Yep.
Okay. So then now somebody's actually believing that this thing here, a building and a program, okay, is doing the work of the Lord, right? And now the family, the kids, the marriage relationship, all of that's getting set aside and diminished or rationalized or justified for that.
And running the kids ragged.
The same could be
because
true.
Because of all the church activities.
The same could be true for career, but this is a real deceptive one, because people that are in the business of
building
Christianity
churches.
And churches and programs, they don't think that's their career. They think that's God. So it can become quite abusive. It can become really deceptive. So, you know, be able to parse them out, you know, and just be real about it. It's there for a reason. It's a good thing. We were talking the other day about it, and I told Danny, I said, you know, but man, thank God, thank God. There are so many good churches and good programs and synagogues and, you know, and all kinds of denominations. There's so many. There's some that have problems, and we're all people, and we're not perfect, and we have problems. But man, Katie, bar the freaking door if you don't have those good people that are out there that are praying, that are trying to do the right thing. Like, this world would descend, the level of chaos that this world would descend into is unlike anything any of us have ever experienced in our lifetime. So there's a balance there, you know. There's a balance there. So we just have to be true to, you know, to what we know. And in my life today, I engage because of the relationships. Not because, oh, I didn't go to church today. I'm backslidden.
Oh my gosh.
You know, or whatever. The relationships is really what it's all about, you know? So.
And honestly, what helped Hans and I through, I mean, God definitely used the body of Christ to help us walk through our experience, really. If we didn't have the people in our lives, not necessarily all a part of one church, but the pastors that prayed for us, the other Christians that were in our life, Christian friends, Christian families, people of the community who really rallied around us with no judgment during our separation, who just prayed for us, who just loved us, who didn't pick sides, do you understand? But just were honorable in the whole thing and just buoyed us up in that time. I don't think we would have been able to survive without the body of believers that came and huddled around us during that season. And so many that prayed for us didn't even know what was going on. So just, I know we are very tough on you as far as our faith goes, just because it's about keeping it real. And we're about like having you press against what you think is good to find what's better. Do you understand? Not to do away with it, but to press against it to get to the better. We were talking about this in our hotel room, and I asked the guys, you know, okay, so how did that talk go with the guys? You guys talk about sex. And they're like, yeah, we talk about sex. Talked about a lot of things. That's great. And I said, you know, most of the guys think they please their wives. It'd be interesting if I asked the wives if they felt their husbands could please them. So why do I say that? Because you should always question what you think you're good at. You will never master what you think you're good at unless you question what you think you're good at, unless you press against it. Press against what you think you're good at. It's not, oh, I'm good at that. I don't have to worry about that. BS. You haven't even hit the pinnacle of good yet. So what you think you got dialed, press against it and see. Not see and prove that it's that you are good. No, see where it could be better. See where you can be better. Do you understand? So even leaving here, Hot Marriage Secrets today, it's ask, okay, honey, do you feel like I can bring pleasure to you? Ask each other the question. Is there any way that I can do better? And you better not lie. The answer is yes. Whether it's yes with frequency, whether it's yes with positions, whether it's yes with exploration, whether it's yes with sexy talk or nasty talk, whatever kind of talk you like, whether it's exploration, whatever it is, it's more intimacy conversation leading up into it, right? There's, yeah, of course. Yeah, I think this is all amazing, and I think we could go here too. I'd like to go here. Do you understand? Press against what you think you're good at. If you don't, you'll never master. You'll just be good. I think there was a book written From Good to Great. I've never read it. But lots of people had. How many have heard of it? But do you know what the enemy of great is? Good. The enemy of a good, the enemy of a great marriage is a good one. The enemy of great finances is a good one. The enemy of a great business is a good one. And we all settle for good. Good, it's good, it's good, it's good. Stop settling for good. Stop settling for good. You got to press against what's good. It's like what he's talking about with learning, right? When we don't get addicted to learning, we just, I already know that. I already know that. I already know that. I already know that. Do you understand? Okay. Well, what if you didn't know? What would it look like? What if you didn't know? What would you do? So it's all weekend, your whole theme, so amazing. I don't know anything. So what if you say this? I don't know how to please my wife. It's time to learn. I don't know how to please my husband. It's time to learn. I don't know how to manage my time. It's time to learn. Do you understand? It's not, I don't know how and I'm a victim. It's time to learn. Do you hear me? It's time to learn.
Cool. I think that's good. I think we covered it good. Let's do a Q&A.
I have something that I need to do before the day is out. Okay, we can do Q&A for like, I have something that I need to talk about.
Sorry. Of course.
And not talk about, it's something I would like for them to do.
Okay, go for it.
But we can do Q&A first.
Okay.
But I got to cut it off at a certain time because I want to give them 5 minutes to do something.
Sounds good.
Who has to leave this room at 5 o'clock? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
5:30.
Okay. 5:30? Who has to leave by 5:30? A couple of you? Okay. Then we're going to do this right now. Pull out a fresh piece of paper and a pen. You're going to like this. I want you to pull out a fresh piece of paper and a pen. It can't have anything on the back side of it. It's just one piece of paper and a pen.
Just whip it out.
Whip it out. Okay. And this is what you're going to do. I want you to write your renewal vows for your spouse right now. Right now, we're in the 10 days of awe, which is a Jewish tradition. It is not a biblical law. It's a Jewish tradition, okay? The biblical law is to recognize the day of trumpets, the sounding of the shofar, have that day of rest. Again, the Jews want to make sure they do everything right. They turn it into 10 days. Not 10 days of rest. There's two night ends Wednesday night. What it means is that the Jews believe that this is the Jewish New Year. They believe that this is the time. Rosh Hashanah was the day that the world was created. They believe that. I think it's an amazing belief. It's the new year right now that we're in, right? What an amazing time to have Hot Marriage Secrets, right? It's a brand new biblical year, okay? So walking into this, I have to tell you, Hans and I renewed our vows 12 years ago. He started to say this, but didn't quite finish the thought, and that renewal took him by surprise. His first wedding with me was glorious to him. It was not to me because of where my head was, but it was his wedding. And so every time I would say we need to, and he promised me then that we would have the wedding with the dress and da-da-da-da-da-da years later, and we just never got around to doing it. And then the more that I was wanting to get closer to him, and the more that I kept feeling this major burden to renew our vows, I wanted everything from my past because that also included... Also,
I knew you were headed there, so
that also included my adultery. It also included an emotional affair, which, by the way, which were with an evangelist, high ranking, very powerful, very well known, who right when I gave my life to Christ woos me. And telling me it wasn't meant for this, whatever. Thank you.
You don't need to explain it.
Thank you.
You're not the victim.
Yes. Bottom line is that that first 13 years had things in it that I wanted to bury. And I wanted a fresh new start. So we renewed our vows in 2006. And that for me was... When I faced him and I read and I spoke my vows to him, I meant 100% of what I was saying. And I knew what I was committing to. Versus 13 years before, none of you knew what you were committing to. Not a single one of you. You all showed yourself to be the best. Right? You showed your best. Then you got married, then you didn't show your best. But now you know each other. You know each other's flaws. You know each other's sin, right? You know each other's secrets. So to recommit, there's something so powerful about doing that when you know what you're getting yourself into and you know what you're saying yes to. And so in my vows to him, we both wear them on our rings right now, and that is that I will follow you and I will go where you go and I will stay where you stay. And my God, your God is my God and your people are my people. And I meant those words with every fiber that was in me. So you've all gone through a lot of crap prior to this, right? I would say that you're near a beautiful beach. You're in this beautiful place, this beautiful island, a place called paradise. Tonight, even if you did it last year, right? This is a renewal time. You guys are renewing a certain part of your relationship this weekend. So I want you to write your vows to each other. What are you going to say that you are committing to this person that you're next to? And for those of you that are single, I want you to write your vows to the person who's on their way to becoming the one that you will be spending the rest of your life with. So, go ahead.
I see, and I know just how much you're a part of me. I see you and I together in life, so there's nothing I wouldn't do to make you my wife. Won't you give me forever to show all of the love I have here for you? And if you give me my reason for living, to love you, I love you, I do. Never let you down. To family and friends and the Lord up above, I will swear I'll be true to you and give you my love. all the love I have for you, baby. And if you give me my reason for living, to love you, I love you, I do. I love you.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to grab that piece of paper, because I lied to you. We're going to do something else. I want you to hold on to that piece of paper and keep it on your body. And we're going to move this room to something a little different right now. And singles, you're just going to just come along with me, okay? And if you're here without your spouse, you're just going to come along. Just fall in line. What I would like to have happen is I want everyone to exit the room. You can leave your stuff where it's at, but just keep that paper with you. And what I need is I need the men to line up at that door, outside the door first, and the women, you're going to line up behind the men. So we're going to make a big old line of all of us. Please exit the room now. So...
Men, before you invite your wives into your territory, you've got to claim it. And the way you claim your territory is that you know who you are. Do not invite your wife into an unstable world. So ask your Father right now to give you guidance on who He wants you to be before you're confused by what she wants you to be. Humble yourselves. You were just placed in your Garden of Eden. She has not come to you yet. So once you've asked your Father for that guidance and you feel ready, turn around to greet your wife. Turn around to invite your bride into your domain.
Thank you.
hands turned.
stand with each other. Learn to stand with each other. Nothing has to be said. Nothing has to be done. Share with you. Keep the music going. And if you want to blot out my voice, you can do that. But I want to share with you the blessing that the rabbi gave me and my beautiful bride on our wedding day. Jacob fell in love. Love at first sight with Rachel, Rachel. In fact, they kissed at the well, because a kiss is so deep, a kiss is so powerful. Learn how to kiss again. Kiss each other. And Jacob worked for 7 years. 7 hard years. For his beautiful, perfect bride. And who did he get? He got Leah. Not the woman he expected. Not the woman he'd worked for. Not the woman of his dreams. Did he throw Leah out? Did he reject the Leah? No. He embraced the Leah. All of us married Rachel and Leah. All of us have our imperfections. And whether we want to deny it or not, it's part of human nature. It's who we are. It's who our bride is. It's who our groom is. Both Rachel and Leah together. I want you all to accept upon yourselves, just as you want your spouse to accept your Rachel and your Leah, your perfections and your imperfections, so too you accept your spouse's perfections and imperfections. At a Jewish ceremony for a wedding, we have 7 blessings. And one of the most powerful blessings is, blessed God of Israel, King of the universe, who makes you as happy, the bride and groom, as happy as your creations in the Garden of Eden. What do you mean? Over 5,000 years later, What have we got to do with Adam and Eve? And within just a few hours, they screwed up the whole world. So what's the lesson? For Adam, there was no other woman in the entire world than Eve. And for Eve, there was no other man in the entire world other than Adam. One of the reasons that Meg and I believe we have such a strong relationship is because we have always been the only thing for each other, apart from God, of course. We had no other choice. I want you guys to start realizing there is no other choice in marriage. There is no other better in marriage than the one you have chosen or the one you will choose. Men, there is no other option than to provide and to protect. The other option is death. Death of our marriage, death of my manhood. Women, there is no other option other than to be his helper opposite him. To come alongside him and at the same time squeeze him like oil coming from an olive to make the best man he can be. And I know so many of you came here looking for answers, to be fed, spoon-fed answers. But the most important thing of all is there is no other option other than to turn to your Creator and ask Him for your answers. Your answers as an individual and your answers as total oneness. Finish off with a priestly blessing. And I'm not going to translate it into English because it's not God's language. Yevarechacha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai Panav Elecha Vichuneka Yisa Adonai Panav Elecha V'yasem Lecha Shalom. Beautiful. this world, inside this hall, is so beautiful. And outside, there's so much turmoil. There's so much attack. Bride circles around our bride circles around us 7 times. Us men are charged with being the protectors, but someone's got to protect the protector. So ladies, I'm going to invite you, and you don't have to feel that you need to do it. It's a tradition that has only lasted over 4,000 years. So you can decide to continue that or not. The number 7 is completion. So ladies, I invite you to walk around your warrior 7 times. Pray for his protection while you do. If you want your warrior to feel like a warrior, if you want him to believe that he's your protector, make him feel that way. Hold him like you believe in his protection. Hold him like you believe he is a son of the high God. Because your man goes to war every day for you. Hard world out there, and he wants to come home to his beautiful bride in his Garden of Eden. Men, let her make you feel like a man. Empower her to be your woman so you can be her man. Men, it's time to step forward and lead. Take out your vows. I want you to read them to your wife. Take your time. If words come to you, if your father gives you extra words, or tells you to take words out, listen to him. Women, do not have expectations. Expectations are unfertile soil. They kill a man's seed. So love him for who he is and what he says to you, whatever that may be. Once you've finished, have no expectations. Just be quiet with each other, it's okay. Ladies, when you're ready, it's your turn. Once again, no expectations. Just accept both Rachel and Leah. Thank you. You must accept your vows. I do. And then if she lets you, you may kiss your bride.
We don't want to take anything away from this moment. This is your moment. Good night. We bless you. Bless your marriages. Now go and walk in your new, fresh life.